Welcome to an ElmQuest presentation.
Purification of the heart. Love, fear, and tears. Presented by Abdul Bari Yahya. Part 1. Diseases of the heart.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة الحمد لله. I figured that one of the things that we need the most, all of us nowadays, is the purification of the most important part of our body, and that's the heart. Inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this series will start, of course, with the introduction to the heart. What is the heart? And what is its position in Islam? And after that, what do we have, what can we do, of course, to purify our hearts? And these are the lectures. The first one will be the diseases of the heart and the cures, the cure for the diseases. And the second, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be concerning the two wings of the mu'min, the two wings of the believers, which is hope and fear. This is what keeps the mu'min, the Muslim, going, is hope and fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second and the third lecture will be the love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last one will be, inshallah, we'll gather all those things together with the actions of the heart and at the same time of the body and the limbs and everything together, which is tears of repentance, a tawbah, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, inshallah, I would like to begin the first one, which is very important. It's a very important topic. And a lot of Muslims are sick. A lot of people are sick, but don't realize it. Most people, when they are sick, if there's physical sickness, something that happens to their bodily parts, their heart, in other words, you know, like physically, or the stomach, or the hand, if there's pain, most people take care of it right away. Most people take care of it right away. But just as the body gets sick, the heart also becomes sick. The heart becomes sick. But the sickness of the heart, in fact, is even more dangerous than the sickness of your body. Because if a person is sick, usually he takes care of it right away. But when the heart is sick, sometimes a lot of Muslims don't realize that their hearts are sick. So they don't take care. They don't look and search for the cure and don't search for the things that will help them make the heart better and get well. And of course, taking care of the heart is very important, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim from Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah, indeed in the heart, in the body, there is a lump of flesh. Idha saluhat salah al jasadu kullu, if that flesh is good, is if it's healthy and it is good, then the whole body will be healthy and good. وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ, and if it is not healthy, if it is unhealthy, if it's not good, then the whole body is also not good and unhealthy or is sick. أَلَّا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ, indeed that is the heart. And of course, you know, the heart, when we look at it, when you look at the problems of the ummah, And when you look at the problems in our communities, a lot of us, when we try to seek and search for what the real problem is, we don't go really deep enough. We don't go deep enough. For example, we'll say that, oh no, because this person, maybe this person is just a troublemaker, or this person gets mad too easy, and he always wants to argue, and this person is so-and-so, he doesn't have good manners. But when you mention these excuses and these reasons, if you take it another step and look further, it's usually the sickness of the heart. Usually the heart that is sick. And that is what causes the sickness also in the ummah. And so this is usually the core of what, the core of the conflicts and the problems that we have in the ummah. And, you know, the scholars have always said, they said, Al-qalbu malakul a'dha. Indeed, the heart is the king of all the limbs. And, wa baqiyatul a'dha junudu. And every other, all the other limbs of the heart, all the other bodily parts are just like the soldiers. Are just like the soldiers. Because it's whatever the heart tells the bodily parts to do, it follows. And so the most important part, just like in a country, the most important person in the country is the leader of the country. If the leader is bad, then you have a big problem. Even if you have, you know, you have good people here and there, but if the leader is bad, he's going to lead people astray and do bad things and lead the economy into corruption and all kinds of things. So it's the same way with the body. And then they say, فَإِنْ كَانَ قَلْبُ صَالِحًا كَانَ جُنُودُهُ صَالِحًا. You know, if the heart is good, of course, then, you know, then also the army, or the soldiers, or the followers are also good. وَإِنْ كَانَ فَاسِدًا كَانَ جُنُودُهُ فَاسِدًا. And if it is not good, if it's not, if it's bad, then it is also the same. If it's spoiled or bad, then it is the same way. Then the soldiers and the followers will also be bad. So that's why it's very important to take care of the heart. And you know, when you want to tackle a problem, when you want to tackle problems, we all have problems. Any problem that you have when you tackle, what you want to do is you want to tackle it from the roots, from the bottom up. And from the beginning. Because if you don't tackle it from the beginning, if you don't take it from where the source is, if you don't go to the source, then if you cut, if you, for example, take care of the limbs and the source is bad, then it's going to grow again. It's going to continually grow again. So you have to like look for the source, and that source is the heart. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, in Muslim Imam Ahmad, in the Hadith Hassan, in Shaykh Albani in Silsilat Sahihah, he said that the Hadith is Hassan from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. لا يستقيم إيمان عبد حتى يستقيم قلبه. A person's iman will not be upright. Your iman will not be upright. Your iman will not be correct. It will not be complete and full until your heart is upright. Until a person's heart is upright and it's good, then after that person's iman will be good and be upright and be correct. And so that's why it's very important, because it's the source of iman, the source of belief, the source of our iman. And also, it is also very important, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our houses that we have, does not look at the cars that we have, does not look at the kinds of clothes that we are wearing to determine our position in His sight. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our deeds in our hearts, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أموالكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your physical features. You know, if a person, just because a person is more handsome, doesn't mean he's better in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if a person has, you know, takes care of himself and is clean, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful and loves that which is beautiful. But it isn't that a person's physical features is not looked at to determine his position in the Akhirah or in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor is it his wealth. It doesn't matter how much wealth you have. There's a difference, of course. If a person has a lot of wealth and uses it correctly, then of course he gets a lot more, he gets a lot of deeds. And he benefits from his wealth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at what, يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your hearts. Looks at your hearts and your deeds. So these are the two things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at. And this is all that's important in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, as we know, as we mentioned, this is the source of iman. And the source of taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God consciousness. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he pointed to his chest, and he said, At-taqwa ha-huna, and he pointed to his heart, to his chest. At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna. And you know, the word taqwa itself is from the word waqiyah, meaning to protect. And what it means is, when you say ittaqullah, it means, at-taqwa means to do all that you can to protect yourself from the hellfire by doing all the deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do as much as we can, and to leave all that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, this is taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being God conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the hearts of people, of course, the hearts of people are different. And the scholars have categorized it, extracted from the Quran. There are three kinds of heart of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is al-qalb al-salim, the healthy heart. The heart that is upright and straight. The one that is, you know, that doesn't have any sickness in it. And also, this is the one that will be saved on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shu'ara, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your wealth nor your children will not avail you. Wealth nor children will not avail you, will not help you, except for those who meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart, with a clean heart, qalbun salim, with a healthy heart. So this is what benefits you in the hereafter. It isn't your children, and it isn't your wealth that will help you during that time. It's your heart. Whoever meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he who meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a healthy heart. And you know, nobody will enter paradise if his heart is sick. Nobody will enter paradise if their heart is sick. And if a person's heart is sick, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't clean his heart, that's why there are so many hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا ينظر الله إليه يوم القيامة ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. And, you know, the hadith about people who put their... who lower their garments below their ankles, and the hadith, other hadiths about those who commit, you know, the sheikh, if he's an old man, he still commits zina, then Allah subhanahu will not look at him, will not purify him. Why? Because if Allah subhanahu does not purify a person, does not forgive him, then he will not enter paradise, because anybody who enters paradise, everyone who enters paradise, their hearts have already been cleansed. You're either cleansed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're cleansed by the hellfire. So, but every Muslim, inshallah, will enter paradise. Eventually. They will enter paradise if they have even an atom's weight of iman in their hearts. But, he will not enter paradise if his heart is still, not healthy, or it isn't good, it isn't pure. So, if a person has la ilaha illallah, but then he also commits sins, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not purify him, does not forgive him, then he will burn in the hellfire. And he will burn in the hellfire if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, does not purify him, does not forgive him, and if he wills. Then he will be in the hellfire according to the amount of disease or unhealthiness or impurities that's in his heart. So this is according. So that's why if a person is already punished in the grave, and he doesn't have a lot of sins, then the punishment, of course, in the grave also purifies. So if that's the case, then he will, inshallah, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter paradise, because his heart has already been purified from those things. And of course, you know, the Anbiya and the Prophets, they are the ones who have, you know, the purest of all the hearts, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah As-Safat about Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبُّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, when he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a pure heart, with a clean heart. And so that's the heart of the heart of the believer is pure. And the other heart is the al-qalb al-mayyit, the heart that is dead, the heart that is covered up. And that's the heart of those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفِ, they say that our hearts have been, غُلْف means has been covered up. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ طَبْعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. But it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed the hearts because of their kufr, their rejection in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't believe except for a few. Or who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the characteristics of the heart of the non-Muslims is that it is hard. And it is hardened, of course, by their kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَصْوَةً. After that, their hearts, of course, the hearts of Bani Israel, the Jews, after that, their hearts became hardened, and it became harder than even kalhijara, just like the stones, or even harder than that. You know, every time we give an example, we say, as hard as a rock, as hard as a rock. So that's how hard their hearts are, or even worse than that. It's even more, even harder than that. And the other, of course, the other heart is the heart of a Muslim, but he's sick. The heart is sick. The heart is sick. And he has sickness because of the desires, or following desires, or following the doubts, or sometimes both together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَخْدَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Ahzab. And he said, do not beautify your voices so that those whose hearts are sick, they might, you know, they might have their desires, or they might want to do bad things. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about. You know, so this speaks, he says, fi qalbihi marad, and in their hearts is a sickness. And that sickness, of course, is sometimes a sickness because of desires of shahwat, of other desires like sexual desires and so forth. And of course, this is what's mentioned in the Quran, taken from the Quran, the kinds of hearts that are that's mentioned. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, the companion of the Prophet radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, indeed the hearts are four kinds. He said, قَلْبٌ أَجْرَدٌ, أَجْرَدٌ meaning, it's clear and pure. أَيْ مُتَجَرَّدٌ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. I mean, all that's in his heart is Allah and his Rasul. He doesn't worry about anything. He doesn't worry about the dunya. He doesn't worry about what people think about him. He doesn't worry about any other aspects except for what pleases Allah and his Rasul. فِيهِ سِرَاجٍ مُزْهِرٍ, meaning, it is like a lantern that is very bright, that shows the way. فَذَلِكَ قَلْبُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, and that is the heart of the mu'min. وَقَلْبٌ أَغْفَلٌ, meaning a heart that has been closed, that has been closed. فَذَلِكَ قَلْبُ الْكَافِرِ, and that's the heart of the kafir. وَقَلْبٌ مَنْكُوسٌ, and the heart that has been flipped upside down or flipped backwards. فَذَلِكَ قَلْبُ الْمُنَافِقِ, that's the munafiq, that's the hypocrite. عَرَفَ ثُمَّ أَنْكَرَ, he knows the truth, and then after he knows it, then he rejects it. وَأَبْصَرَ ثُمَّ عَمِيَ, he sees it, and then after that he becomes blind. وَقَلْبٌ تَمُدُّهُ مَادَّتَانِ, مَادَّةُ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَادَّةُ النِّفَاقِ, فَهُوَ لِمَا غُلِبَ عَلَيْهِ مِنْهُمَا. And then there's another heart that has these two, the nifaq in it, you know, and also the iman. So a lot of Muslims, you know, they're Muslims, but they have a lot of hypocrisy in them. in their deeds that they have hypocrisy and they lie and they do many things that they shouldn't be doing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. And these are, you know, the signs of hypocrisy, the sign of the munafiq. And so, as we know, you know, the heart, when we mention that the heart is a place where the deeds, you know, where the source of deeds and source of goodness that comes through the body and it affects all the other body parts. Also, the heart also is affected. One of the major things that affects the heart the most is committing sins. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of people, they think that the sins, when a person commits a sin, it only affects, you know, it affects their iman, but it doesn't affect them physically. But, you know, that's not true. Because it does affect the person physically, mentally, and in every aspect. And it isn't just like, it goes past that. It even affects the people whom you are around and whom you hang around with. It affects their attitude towards you and how they look at you also. So all these things are also parts of the, all the effects of the, from the heart. And so that's why you have to be careful, try to cleanse your heart as much as you can. Like Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, he said, رَأَيْتُ الذُّنُوبِ تُمِيتُ الْقُلُوبِ وَقَدْ يُرِثُ ذُلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا. I see that the sins kills the heart. The sins, committing sins, kills your heart. وَقَدْ يُرِثُ ذُلَّ إِدْمَانُهَا. And if you are persistent in committing those sins, then you will be degraded. You know, you'll be degraded, in other words, you will be lowly. Lowly in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and also in the sight of people. So that's why, you know, people who commit lots of sins, you know, there's no respect for them in the, when people look at them, they don't feel any, like, respect for them. You don't feel, they don't really, like, praise them. And even if they do, it's not sincere. It's not sincere. It's because of other reasons, because of the dunya or others. وَتَرْكُ الذُّنُوبِ حَيَاتُ الْقُلُوبِ. And when you leave the sins, then this gives life to the heart. وَخَيْرًا لِنَفْسِكَ عِسْيَانُهَا. And it is better that you leave. It is better for you that you leave, that you disobey the sins, and don't leave the sins. Don't disobey the soul and your desires, so that your heart can have life. And also, the heart also can blind a person from seeing the truth. The heart, if it's not pure, if it's not healthy, if it's not clean, it can blind a person from seeing the truth. And it can also make a person not realize what is right and what is wrong, and what is good and what is bad. So it blinds the heart. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in Sunan Tirmidhi, when in Nasa'i from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِذَا أَذْنَبَ ذَنْبًا كَانَتْ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَاءَ فِي قَلْبِهِ. If a person commits a sin, then there's a black spot that is put on his heart. Black spot that is pinned on his heart. فَإِنْ تَعْبَ وَرَجَعَ وَاسْتَعْتَبَ أَيْ نَدِمَ ذَنْ سُقِلَ قَلْبُهُ. If he returns to Allah, if he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will clean his heart back. وَإِنْ زَادَتْ زَادَتْ. And if he increases in sin, then also the blackness in the heart also increases. حَتَّى تَعْلُوا قَلْبُهُ. And until finally, it overtakes his heart. فَذَلِكَ الرَّانَ الَّذِي قَالَ تَعَالَى كَلَّا بَرَّانَ عَلَى قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And that's the rust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. كَلَّا. Nay, indeed their hearts have become rust, and the rust has enveloped their hearts, taken over their hearts. بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of what they used to, do. So the heart is blinded blinded if a person consistently commits sin, and it is also blinded if a person knowingly commits a sin, and then he still does it, but he knows it's haram and he's persistent in it. It also blinds him to the point where he will see the truth become falsehood and falsehood become truth. And let me give you an example of that. I was in Vietnam for a couple of years, and there's one place in Vietnam. There was a place where they had one of the shrines or the graves where people used to say, they say that this person is a wali. And they go, whenever somebody needs something, they go to that grave and they go to that shrine and they ask that particular person that's inside, the grave. And so there was a couple, who in the village that I was staying in, there was a couple. They'd been married for over 20 years and they really wanted to have a child, but they couldn't have a child. And they heard other people saying, you know, if you really go to that place, you will, inshallah, you will get it. If you ask that wali, they call him Waliullah Umar. You know, Waliullah Umar, that's the place in the shrine. If you go there and ask him, he'll give you. And some people go to the point where they even slaughter chicken for that particular person. Of course, this is all shirk. But that, of course, you know, the couple, at the beginning, they knew it was wrong. And they doubted. They had, you know, their doubts. But because so many people, you know, kept on telling them, you know, you should do this and you'll get it. So they said, okay, well, we got to lose. We just try it. And they knew it was wrong. They knew it was wrong, but, you know, they went anyways. So when they went after that, like just a couple months later, his wife became pregnant. His wife became pregnant. Of course, is this because of Waliullah Umar? No, it isn't. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them. And was it good for them? What do you think? Is it good for them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to them? It wasn't good for them. Why? Because, you know, Bani Israel, when they went astray, they had knowledge, but they still went astray. And they persisted and they kept on doing that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did He say about them? فَلَمَّ زَاغُوا. When they went astray, أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go even more astray. So that couple, before they had doubts, but when they got their kid, when they had their kids, when the wife became pregnant, they said, Subhanallah, it is true. So before, they still had doubts, but now it's already shirk, but now it's like 100%. The 100% shirk, you know, associating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who is it that made them go even astray further? It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go astray, not because, it was because of their deeds, their actions, because they knew, and they still, knowingly, they knew that it was wrong, and they still did it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them even more astray. Made their hearts even more astray. So they became even more. So now every single need, they would go to that person. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to them because that's a test for them. Because they knew and they still did it. So that's why if a person whose heart, who commits a sin, and he commits it knowingly and he keeps on doing it. He doesn't repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify it and it will be clean again. Of course, all of us commit sins, you know, kullu ibn adam khata' wa khayrul khata'ina tawwabun. But the best of those who commit sins, all of us commit sins, but the best of those who commit sins are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if a person always commits sin and refuses and keeps on doing it, then when it's time, if they made the intention, a lot of people, they make the intention to delay, you know, doing certain things. They'll follow certain, you know, rulings, or they'll leave certain sins. Once they delay, what happens is the heart becomes black. And if they keep on doing that, it becomes more black. And then when it's the time where they really set, like, for example, I'm 40 years old, they won't be able to come back because they won't be able to see the truth. Because their hearts have been has the rust that's already on it, and it's very difficult because there's so much. And of course, there are a lot of places where the heart is tested. You know, our hearts are always tested all the time, and it's one of the most difficult thing to control because it flips up and down and it flips back and forth. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama summiya al-qalbu li taqallubihi." Indeed. A heart is called a heart because it flips back and forth, back and forth. It's not stable. It's always back and forth. You know, sometimes you like something. You like certain foods, and after that, you don't like it anymore. Sometimes you like a wife, and after a few years, you know, you say, oh, I'm looking for a second one, inshallah. Or, you know, and so forth. And then, you know, at the beginning, you like this person, and after that, you don't like the other. You know, the heart is always like that. You know, the only time when your heart is going to be stable, when it's really pure, and that's in paradise. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا يَبْغُونَ عَنَا حِوَلًا. Whatever they have, after that, they won't want to change. That's because the heart is so pure, you know, that it's not flipping up back and forth, up and down again anymore. So there are many places in which the heart is tested, and one of the places is in prayer. When a person stands up to pray, sometimes he says Allahu Akbar, and the heart is it's sincere from the beginning. It's sincere from the beginning, but sometimes, you know, you see your father-in-law walking by. MashaAllah, you concentrate more, and then your heart changes. You know, or you see somebody, your friend, you know, like a person whom, like maybe the teacher's coming in, and somebody whom, you know, or your parents, and then sometimes, your heart changes, and sometimes you don't even realize it. Sometimes you don't even realize it, but it changes, and you try to, like, show that you have more khushu. And you look down. But see, when these things happen, of course, then you have to stop yourself. So that's why every single time when you do a deed, you have to ask your heart before you do it. Who are you doing this for? Why are you doing it? And then during the deed, keep on asking. Check your heart all the time. Check for changes. You know, like in a car, check for those lights that come up. You know, in the car, you're always looking, when you're driving, you see lights. But you have to get used to know where the lights are sometimes. And when the light flashes, you have to make sure, you know, yeah, for example, the seatbelt light comes on, you better get the seatbelt on, or, you know, and then also the reminding, there's a lot of reminders, you know, and also sometimes when the gas, the light that says the gas is empty, it comes on, then you say, oh, it's red, it's coming, that's a sign, that means that's a change. So when you're driving, just as you're driving, you're looking at things, changes, and you can see, you know, what's in your car and what's going on outside. The same way when you're praying, keep a lookout, you know, it's for the engine right there. That's your engine. That's what keeps everything going. So keep a lookout for your heart, any changes in your heart, and try to think, what are the signs that my intention has changed? For example, usually when the heart changes, the body also is affected also. So when you see your body affecting it, being affected, sometimes you pray and then it changes position. Sometimes you're looking like this, and then you look up. Anytime your body moves, check your heart. Every time your body moves, check your heart, because the heart is telling it to move. Because there's a reason. Sometimes, you know, you go, then you raise your head up because you just lost concentration. Now you're thinking about work. Right? So that's a sign. That's a flash. So come back and check it when you're praying. So that's another time, another place where we should always, check all those signs that tell that our heart is changing. And that's why Sufyan ibn Uyayna, he said, you know, the most difficult thing for me is my heart, is controlling the heart, because it changes so much for me, and beginning and the end. And sometimes, even afterwards, you know, after you finish the deed, you're sincere. At first, you're sincere from the beginning, and then the end. And then after you finish, you're sincere. But then later on, sometimes even it can affect even after you finish the deed. Like sometimes when a person, you know, you help somebody poor, they give sadaqah. I remember in Vietnam, you know, some people, when they give, the people who have a little bit more money than the others, a lot of poor people, and sometimes they give, you know, they give, one person gave a person, the other guy, some money to help him out because he was very poor. And one time, he was carrying the water from the river because, you know, they don't have like the faucets and stuff that we have in the poor countries over there. And of course it was very heavy. And when he came by that person, when that person walked by him, right, the person who he just helped, you know, give sadaqah, he stopped. He stopped, like, you know, putting it down to show that guy, he's tired. You need to help me, you know. And then that person, for some reason, maybe he's busy, he didn't really realize, or he really needed to go really quick. And he put it down and he looked at him. He said, SubhanAllah, I just helped him yesterday. He said, you know, really loud. He said, I just helped him yesterday. And look, I just gave him some money yesterday. And he's seeing me all tired. He doesn't even help me. And that person says, SubhanAllah. You know, this is, he already finished the deed. Right? But you know, he ruined his sadaqah. لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Although, all you who believe, do not destroy your sadaqah with man, with, you know, mentioning the good deeds that you did, or other, or harming him. And so this time, even you're harming even that person. So you're destroying your deed even after you finish the deed. So you can even destroy it afterwards with the intention. So that's why, you know, in salat and in sadaqah, and even in siyam, you know, in siyam, of course, this, but a lot of the, you know, most of the time, fasting is one of the, actually it's one of the easier ibadahs to have ikhlas. It's one of the easier ibadah. You know, one of the ibadahs that it's easier to have ikhlas. Why? Because, if a person, because fasting, you know, nobody knows. Nobody knows if you're fasting or not. So you would have to really make an effort to really show that you are fasting, or, you know, sometimes, some people when they are fasting, they pretend that they show that they're very tired, and others of course they even, you know, they mention about the speak about it, unless you'd really have to speak about it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said as-siyamu li wa ana ajzi bih, said as-siyamu li wa ana ajzi bih, mean indeed fasting is for me, and I am the one that will give the reward. The reason is because if a person can, you know, a person, you can't tell if a person is really fasting or not. You know, because fasting, for example, prayer, you can tell if a person is praying or not. You can tell if a person makes hajj. If you can tell if a person does other good deeds, helps his Muslim brothers. But a person is fasting, you really can't tell. Like, for example, when you're a kid, you know, when your parents tell you to fast, I mean, they can tell you to fast, but they can't force you to fast. But they can force you to pray. Because they can see you, but they can't force you to fast. You can, mashallah, you know, you can tell your children to fast, but then they'll say, I'm fasting. But when they go in the bathroom, when they brush their teeth or in the bathroom, they can drink all they want. And nobody knows. Or they can just take the food. Nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, you know, concerning fasting. But also, you know, like even some of the companions, when they were fasting, you know, a lot of us, when we fast, we always try to show that we're very tired. But subhanAllah, you know, the companions, when they were fasting, they even had more energy, and they tried to show even more energy, so other people would not know that they're fasting. I mean, they would have, like, you know, they would do just the regular, normal things. And even, you know, subhanAllah, even sometimes, even during jihad, sometimes they would even fast, during jihad. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, "Man sama yawman fi sabilillah, ba'ada Allahu wajhu 'an an-nari 70 kharifa." Mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever fasts fi sabilillah, of course some of the scholars say this is jihad fi sabilillah, others say, you know, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take his face away from the hellfire 70 years, the distance of 70 years, traveling 70 years. If a person to go 70 years, that's how much he would take away from. And, you know, the fasting, of course, as long as we're in the subject of fasting, you know how we are always looking forward to, like, fasting in the winter. We're always looking forward to the short days that we fast. But, you know, the companions, subhanAllah, you know, amongst them, Ibn Mas'ud, he said, one of the things that I look forward to is the fasting in the long summer days. Because, you know, why? Because they enjoyed that. Because they knew that they were doing it for the sake of Allah. So that's what gave them pleasure. That was what pleased them. That was what they wanted. Was to do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more hardship they knew, if it was more difficult, then inshallah they would get more reward. Because their main sole reason was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, you know, there's another place where a person, you know, if you're not sincere on the day of judgment, this is like, is worthless. You know, your deeds that you do is worthless. That's why a lot of people, you know, on the day of judgment will come, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And they will come forth with what they did. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make what they did, all the deeds that they did, just like the, هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, just like the dust that you just blow, and it just spreads out. So it's worthless. And so this is, you know, those who are not sincere. And Subhanallah, you know, a lot of people, when you do certain deeds, people always are careful, you know, in the dunya to perfect things and to make it correctly. But you know, a lot of times when people who are not sincere, I give the example of like of a person who's working very hard and is always working day and night to try to, you know, get a lot of money and try to save it up. You know, try to save it up, and you work very hard and try to save it up. And then in the end, what happens in the end is that a person, let's say he wants to retire early, so he works very hard, even works on the weekends and, you know, works overtime. And any extra time that he has, he will keep on working. So that person, of course, is looking for early retirement or looking for to enjoy life in the later on when he's older. Imagine that person, you know, like working, and all that money is coming in. All that money is coming. He's putting the money in the safe, you know, putting the money in the safe. Now we usually have banks, but you know, in the poor countries, they just have the cash and they usually put it in. And imagine you go every time you put it in, and then at the end, when you're about to retire, and you open it up, and you leave your job, of course, you don't have anything else, and you open the money, and you find that it's counterfeit. All the money you have is counterfeit. So it's the same way if a person is doing, you know, deeds that is not sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's all counterfeit money. It's no use. It's no use. Not only is it no use, what happens to a person who has counterfeit money? If you try to spend it, what happens? They put you in jail. Subhanallah, they put you in jail. So in the day of judgment, if you come up with counterfeit deeds, you come with counterfeit deeds, you'll be put in jail, put in the hellfire. That's why the first people who will be put in the hellfire is the mujahid. Mujahid, you know, he fights in jihad. Right, but he didn't fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him forward and ask him and say, what did you do in this life? And he will say, قَتَلْتُ فِيكَ, I fought for you. And وَقُتِلْتُ, and I died for your sake. I fought for you and I died for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, كَذَبْتُ. And then all the malaika, the angels will even say, كَذَبْتُ. You know, imagine the situation, subhanAllah. Allah says you're a liar. And then all the angels saying you're a liar. SubhanAllah, كَذَبْتُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pull him and throw him in the hellfire. And the second person, of course, is a person who reads the Qur'an and recites the Qur'an. But all he does it is because he wanted people to say that he's an alim, or he's a qari, a person who recites. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, kadhabt also. The same thing, that you're a liar. And all the angels will say you're a liar. Imagine, you know, if a person, right now, if you're arguing with a person, somebody says you're a liar. And you feel really bad. Imagine if everybody in the masjid said you're a liar. SubhanAllah. You know, it's a situation. And in the day of judgment, all the angels are saying that also. And also, the third person, of course, you know, in the hadith, is the person who spends, you know, he spends day and night that money. You know, it's tiring to get all that money and he spends it. But you know, all he does is he wants the dunya only. He wants people to praise him, to say that he's, gracious. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, will know that. And so all the things, all the deeds that you do, of course, when you pray, you're going to pray anyways. You're going to have to pray. So why, if you're going to stand up, then make it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you look to please Allah, please others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So be careful, and think about those things. Because any kind of deed that you do that's not sincere is counterfeit deed. It's no use. You get put in prison. You get put in prison. Not only is it no use, you'll be put in prison. And you'll be punished for it. So be careful of counterfeit deeds and do the deeds purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, one of the places that is very difficult, is, of course, seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge, of course, a lot of times, a person, you know, seeking knowledge is a very good thing. But, you know, the shaitan always can also come and change a person's intention also. So when a person seeks knowledge, he should seek it to improve, first of all, to improve himself, and then to improve Islam, you know, his Islam, and to teach his children and do the obligatory actions, and also to spread that knowledge. And you should have the intention, the good intention, not the intention like to show off. Some people seek knowledge to show off to other people. Some people seek knowledge to argue, just for the sake of arguing. You know, a lot of people, like, for example, a lot of people, when they do something, And somebody says, "Why did you do that?" He goes back and looks for the dalil. And when he goes back and looks for the dalil for a particular action that he's doing, maybe it's incorrect, or maybe it's correct, but the intention of looking for it is to argue. And to argue for that person because, you know, oh, that person, how can he advise me? He doesn't know anything. So he's looking for anything that he can use against that person. Instead of trying to teach himself and trying to look for the truth, he's not really looking for the truth. He's looking for a rebuttal. So that also is not sincere. So you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time in rebuttal if that's what you want, if that's what your intention is. Your intention is, of course, to find the truth. If that person is what he's saying is the truth, then alhamdulillah, then you follow it. But if it's not the truth, then you go remind him. You go remind him. But not to try, you know, because not to compete with each other in terms of maybe I'm more knowledgeable or I am better. Because that will also earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also very dangerous because it's one of the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at on the Day of Judgment and also will not purify. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ عِلْمًا, whoever learns the knowledge, مِمَّا يُبْتَغَى بِهِ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ إِلَّا لِعَرَضَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ يَجِرْ عُرْفَ جَنَّةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks knowledge, the knowledge which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean the knowledge of Islam, and he doesn't do it except for he wants something in the dunya. For sometimes some people want position, sometimes they want money, sometimes they want diploma, sometimes they want other things. People to praise them, to say that they're alim. Or if that's the case, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he will not smell the scent of paradise. Now this is a person who is learning knowledge, but if he's not sincere, he will not smell the scent of paradise. Not only will, and the smell of the scent of paradise, la yujidu min masirati kadha wa kadha. And you can smell the scent of paradise. It's so pleasant and so strong that it's everywhere. It's everywhere. But they will not smell it. Those people who are not sincere for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when seeking knowledge. And of course, you know, there are two, when we speak about the sickness of the heart, of course, there's one sickness which is like, leads you to kufr. And the other sickness, which leads to a sickness, which is a sickness of the heart, which is not kufr, but it's a sin, great sin, and one of which is nifaq. When you have nifaq, is hypocrisy. When a person has hypocrisy in their hearts, or has kufr, or has doubts in their heart, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi qulubihim marad in Surah Al-Baqarah, marad. In this ayat, the scholars have mentioned that this is their doubts. I mean, their disbelief in their nifaq and their hypocrisy. So this hypocrisy, of course, this is the most dangerous. Of course, the most dangerous of all is shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not purify that person. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't purify that person, and the thing with shirk is even the hellfire will not purify that person. Shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never be purified. So if a person commits shirk, like for example that person who goes to the grave and asks others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they don't repent before they die, then it will be the hellfire, I mean they will abide in the hellfire forever. So it's a very dangerous thing. And of course, all the sins, you know, this shaitan, what the shaitan wants you to do, what the shaitan wants us to, all of us to do, his ultimate goal is to make us commit shirk. That's his ultimate goal, is to make us enter the hellfire. And how do you enter the hellfire when a person commits shirk, when he's a mushrik? So that's the ultimate goal. And then after that, of course, you can't, the shaitan can't come to us. We come to the masjid all the time. So he can't come and say, oh, go to the church and go worship like the Jews and the Christians. Nobody's going to follow him. But what the shaitan does, he takes it one step at a time, one step at a time. Takes it one step at a time, one step, and he'll make you commit a sin first. And then after that, commit another sin which is greater, and then commit another which is greater, and commit another which is greater. And till eventually, it will lead, all sins eventually lead to committing of shirk. So that's what he wants. So that's why, you know, in the story of the first people who commit shirk, of course, during the time of Nuh alayhi salam. During the time of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, told, you know, of course, during the time of Adam alayhi salam until Nuh, there was no shirk. Of course, there are sins, but there's no shirk. Nobody had committed shirk. Nobody associated anybody with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shaitan, of course, wanted people to associate. That's his goal. But he took it one step at a time. First of all, you know, with the first group, they were very the scholars. They're very good scholars. And what did he tell them to do? He told them to make idols and statues. He didn't tell them to worship the statues and idols of these pious people. He told them, he said, no, this is just for you to remind, this is a reminder. When you see these statues, you remember that these people were very good examples. And then you do good. And then it wasn't until these people, that generation passed away. And then the next generation, Shaitan came to them, you know, your forefathers used to worship these idols. And so that's how they started to worship the idols. So the Shaitan takes it one step at a time. So how do you combat that? The thing you combat that is, what you want to do is you want to do as much sunnah actions as possible. Any sunnah that you see, anything that's not obligatory, even before that, you want to do those things. Because, you know, the Shaitan, for example, if he comes to us, you know, we pray Fajr, and we pray, a person prays the Hajjud, and then he prays the sunnah before Fajr, and then he prays Fajr. The Shaitan isn't going to come and say, okay, today just go to sleep and don't pray Fajr. Say, SubhanAllah, I pray the Hajjud, I pray sunnah, rak'atayn, two rak'ats before Fajr. You're going to tell me to leave Fajr prayer? SubhanAllah, there's no way. Right? There's no way. So that's why when you're praying the sunnahs, you're like building a wall. Another wall and another layer. Because the Shaitan will have to come and say, don't pray the Hajjud this morning. You know, just rest because you're tired, you slept late. And if you left the Hajjud, nothing would happen. You wouldn't get any sins because it's sunnah. But then after that you leave the sunnah, the Hajjud. And if he succeeds in that, he'll say, okay, the two rak'ahs before Fajr, just leave it. Right? Just leave the two rak'ahs before Fajr. It's only sunnah. Just wake up. You know, when the alarm comes on, hit the shaitan button, the snooze button, right? Just let it go. And so the next one, you keep on going. Hit it, right? And so, you know, after that, then you wake up just in time for Fajr and you go pray. And after that, you know, you can't make it to the masjid anymore. And after that, and a while later, he'll come again. You're so tired. And then finally, when in the end, you wake up and the sun is already out. So he takes it one step ahead. But if you had all the sunnahs, always putting the sunnahs before, he can't go straight to the Fajr. But he can tell you, he can go straight to the Fajr. After that, he'll just say, just don't pray Fajr, pray Eid only. Or just come to Ramadan only. But see, if you're doing the sunnahs all the time, this is protection for you. The more sunnahs that you do, the stronger your protection is. The stronger your fortress around you is. The stronger, it's harder for the shaitan to come. Because if you prayed at the masjid all the time, the shaitan, the first thing will come, say, don't pray at the masjid, just pray at home. And then if you pray at home, inshallah, there's nothing. You know, you get less reward, but you're not going to get any sins. So, you know, it's very dangerous, especially during Fajr time, because, you know, a lot of the Muslims take it for granted, and they don't know. Ya Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, used to give us the durus in Ramadan. One of the questions that were asked about Salat al-Fajr, he also mentioned, he said, if a person goes to sleep and he knows that he doesn't get up for Fajr, it's very difficult for him to get up for Fajr, and he slacks and he doesn't even put the alarm clock, and he knows that he probably won't get up for Fajr if he doesn't put the alarm clock. He doesn't put up the alarm clock, and if he misses Fajr, he's a non-Muslim. Because he's left Fajr on purpose. Because knowingly, he left prayer, Fajr prayer on purpose. Because he knew that he wasn't going to get up, but he didn't care. So that means you did it on purpose. You leave in prayer on purpose. So be careful, especially, you know, during Fajr, where it's more difficult during those times. So try to, even the sunnahs of Maghrib, try to pray at the masjid all the time. And try to do all your sunnahs. And try to do your sunnahs at home. The sunnah, as much as you can. The more sunnahs that you do, the more your iman increases, and the more protection you have from the shaitan. The more protection you have from the shaitan. And of course, you know, after that, nifaq and then riya, and then we spoke about, which is, you know, very dangerous. Like, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that riya is in itself, it's so difficult to spot that it's like, It's like an ant. You know, it's like an ant on a moonless night. There's no moon on a black ant on a moonlight on a black stone. That's very difficult to spot. It's very difficult to spot. So that's yeah, that's showing off. And it's also very dangerous because it destroys your deed. It's dangerous and it's very, so the same, you know, but if a person is always, you know, really taking care and very careful, usually they can, inshallah, they can spot it. You know, like if you drive your car for a long time, the lights don't have to come on anymore. Even if there's like a change in a little bit of sound, you start to realize it right away. Start to realize because, you know, it's your car and this doesn't sound right. Even though there are no lights, there's no signs. But if there's even there's a sputter or something like that, you start to realize right away. Or, you know, when you start before, now it's a little bit longer, you start to realize. Then you have to correct right away. Because if you don't correct, maybe it'll ruin other things. So the same with us, you know, we have to always think, check ourselves when we're doing our deeds. And we know ourselves better. You know, we know ourselves better than anybody else. But the problem is, we don't ask ourselves, we don't check, we don't care. We just keep on going. We don't care if we see these little signs, we don't really care. So get used to asking yourself. That's why Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. You know, take care of yourselves, you know, calculate and make yourself accountable before you're going to be accountable. Before check your deeds before your deeds will be checked for you. And so check yourself. One of the things that we should always do, check. And all these things, all these things is from the heart. That's why we have to check. We have to check our hearts all the time. Another thing, another disease of the heart is also al-hasad. Well, hasad is jealousy. And jealousy is very, very dangerous sin to have, because, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innal hasad ya'kul al-amal kama ta'kul an-nar al-hatab, kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, hasad, jealousy, will eat away at a person's deed, just like the fire burns the firewood, the wood, when it keeps on burning. And you know that the sins, when a person commits the sin, you know, the deeds that we do, physical deeds, are usually limited in time. But, you know, deeds of the heart, sometimes they're very long, and they keep on going. So that's why sometimes it's a lot more dangerous. For example, if a person commits zina, commits, you know, fornication or adultery, it's for that particular time, then it stops. Maybe, inshallah, he'll repent. But, you know, if a person has jealousy and envy in his heart, then he goes to sleep with it. He walks with it. He always has that in his heart. You know, it's always inside. That's why it's always eating away at your deeds. Because it's continuous. It's not just for a particular certain amount of time only. Sometimes it lasts for days. Sometimes months. And sometimes you have that, you know, problems between Muslims. It lasts for years. I hear some Muslims that haven't spoken to his other brother because of one small problem for 10 years. And they have that hatred and jealousy. It's in their hearts, eating away at their deeds, subhanAllah, for how many years? And it keeps on going. Keeps on going. So that's why it's dangerous. It's very dangerous because it's always continuous. And the same way also, you know, a person has, you know, the opposite is also true. When a person does a good deed, for example, a deed like patience. When a person has patience, he's not just like we're patient for 1 second, right? Sometimes you're patient for a very long amount of time, for years, and sometimes for days and months. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرُهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sabirin, those who were patient, without any set amount. He gives whatever he wills, because it's always continuous. When a person's patient, he's always patient. And the deed, it doesn't stop there. Even when he's sitting in the masjid, he's patient. It's always going. Even his bank account, it keeps on rolling. Of the deeds, just keeps on going up and up and up and up. Just keep all the time. So those are the deeds. That's why it's very dangerous. The deeds of the heart sometimes is a lot more dangerous than deeds that are physical deeds. Physical meaning physical sins. And of course, another thing that is very dangerous is is when a person does a good deed and he sees himself like, oh, he's really good. I mean, al-ujub bin nafs means somebody who has that, not pride, but you know, he sees himself as everything. So, oh, mashallah, I am a very pious person. I am very good. Because once a person sees himself as that, he can't improve anymore. Because once you see yourself as being complete, you can't improve anymore. You're not going to do anything else, so you're good already. So that's why in the deeds that you do, you should always look at people who are always better than you. And look at that. And then try to follow them. And don't look at the people who are lower than you. And look, sometimes once you get to the point where we should, of course, look at the scholars and the pious people and the people who are righteous. But of course, the best of those are the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself and the companions. And we should make that as our goal. To be as much as we can just like them. And, because, you know, you won't get there, and you'll always try to improve yourself all the time. But if you look at, you know, every time say, oh, I come to the masjid, at least I come to the masjid. Look, all the other people don't even come to pray Jum'ah. If you do that, then you're gonna go down. Once you start thinking that way, then you're gonna go down because, oh, that guy doesn't come to the masjid. At least I pray. Now, at least I pray at home. He doesn't even pray. So you start to go down. So that's why you should always have the highest example. Look at the people who are way up there to help improve ourselves in the deeds that we do. And another thing that we should always have is, be careful of is the whispers of the shaitan. The shaitan, what he wants you to do, the whispers into our hearts. When he whispers into our hearts, his main goal is to, of course, make you commit shirk. But if he can't do that, he'll lessen your reward. He'll lessen your reward. And he'll do all that he can to stop you from doing good deeds. Like some people, there are some people who have a problem with waswasa, meaning the whispers of shaitan. When they come up, they go, Allah, Allah, Allah. And they think they don't have the right intention in their hearts. And then the imam says, and the strange thing is, subhanAllah, I've noticed a lot of people who have this disease, of the whispering of the shaitan, these doubts that they always have. You know, it's Allah, Allah, and they always say Allah, Allah, but they always have doubt because they think that they don't have the intention, the right intention yet, or they don't have the intention for the correct prayer yet. And the shaitan, what he does is, he's trying to delay you so you won't get the reward of the jama'ah from the beginning. So even, he knows he can't stop you from praying jama'ah, but he can stop you from starting with the imam. So he'll do that, take one step at a time. And the thing is, the strange thing is, as soon as the imam makes ruku, mashallah, Allahu Akbar, right away. And you know, the intention is perfect. But before that, it's not there. Because why? Because subhanAllah, he doesn't want to pray the rak'ah over again. Right? So mashallah, the intention is right away. And I notice that, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Then the imam goes, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, mashallah. Then he goes, then like he catches that ruku. Subhanallah. See, this is from the shaitan. You know, it's a disease. And some people, when they make the same way, when they make wudu, you know, of course you should perfect your wudu. But the shaitan sometimes whispers and says, you know, oh, maybe you don't have wudu, or maybe you don't, that's why, you know, maybe, you know, you pass gas. That's why in Islam, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us that if we're praying, you know, if the shaitan comes and says to you, you know, maybe you pass gas or you're in doubt, that you don't leave it until you hatta yajidu rihan hatta yajidu rihan aw yasma' sawtan aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until he hears a sound or he can smell. That means he's certain, unless you're a certainty. So in Islam, in your ibadah, you build it on certainty. So if there's any doubt, the shaitan tries to make you doubt, just put it aside, because he's just trying to delay you and trying to take you away from your ibadah, trying to take your mind away from the concentration, which is more important. Because if you haven't started praying, how are you going to have your concentration? You know, so that's, he tries whatever he can, even if it's like a penny, he'll try to take from you. You know, the shaitan. Whatever, even if it's a penny, just a penny, he'll try to do as much as he can, whatever he can. Because he's our enemy, and we have to treat him as our enemy. We have to treat him as our enemy. But unfortunately, a lot of Muslims don't treat them as enemies, as our enemies. And of course, you know, the first thing, another aspect that we should have before we do anything is concerning the cleansing of the heart, is when we make da'wah, when a person goes and speaks and makes da'wah, that they should cleanse their heart and purify the heart of all things. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Muddathir, when Allah subhanahu revealed the ayat, to tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out and warn the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O he who is enveloped in the blanket, covered up in the blanket, قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ, stand up and warn the people, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And then the first thing what you should do is, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And in thy Lord, magnify Allah, magnify, make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the greatest. He's the greatest. So you're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake only. And whatever happens to you, then you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still, and whatever happens to you, whatever things that can happen to you when you make da'wah, then you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still the greatest in you. And also, you purify your heart with your intention, because you know that whatever people can give you, whatever people praise you, or whatever money they can give you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than that. Allah is greater than the money that they can give you, or the praise that they can give you, or anything else. So that's why you magnify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the greatest. Before you go speak, have that in your heart. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ. And then your clothes, let it be clean. Meaning the scholars have said, the Jumhur al-Mufassirin, most of the Mufassirin have said that this means, الثياب means the heart. And then cleanse your heart. Clean your heart before you go out, you know, and speak to the other people. Clean your heart. Because once you clean your heart, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once it's pure, you know, when you speak to people, then it's more effective. Because you notice that some scholars or some speakers, when they speak, it just comes straight to your heart. And sometimes they're not really, really, really good speakers, but sometimes when they say certain things, it just hits the heart. And others, you sit down a whole half an hour and a half, and you come out and you say, what did I learn? Because sometimes it's the heart. When it comes from the heart, and it goes to the heart. But when it comes just from the mouth, it just comes here and then it goes back out. Because what's the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that? It's because if a person is sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that person to benefit from his knowledge. So I remember, you know, one of the mashaykh who used to teach us, Shaykh Muhammad al-Mukhtar al-Shinqiti, I would sit with him and for an hour. And after an hour with him, and after I sit with him, 2 weeks later, I can repeat, and we're studying about talaq, masail talaq. And it's very difficult. It's very like, it has a lot of branches and things like that. And after 2 weeks later, I can repeat whatever he said without even reviewing my notes. And then other teachers will come and teach, and I sit there for an hour and I come out. I'm thinking, what did I learn? I'm still thinking what I learned. Why? Because, you know, some people, when they're sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the students and the people to take that knowledge and give to other people so they can give the reward. So they can increase in their reward because they're sincere. So when you're sincere, when you're speaking, when you're sincere, and your heart is pure and sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people will use that knowledge and then you will benefit from it also. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it in people's hearts and will make people remember it. So that person, because of his sincerity, can benefit. But others who are not sincere, sometimes you sit and you don't remember anything. And even when the test comes, you read it, mashallah, but then sometimes it goes away. That's why when I was studying in Medina, the best classes are the classes that are outside, because they're voluntary. You know, the person who's giving his time is voluntary. He's not being paid or anything, just voluntary. So, you know, it's more sincere. And also when the students, when they go, you're volunteering your time. You're not forced to go. You know, if you don't go, you're not going to get kicked out of the school or anything like that. So that's where all the knowledge is, because it comes in, and when they say something, it stays. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that person to benefit from their knowledge. So that's what happens. That's why, subhanAllah, you know why there are a lot of scholars. There are a lot of scholars. But why does Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, and then Thawri, Sufyan Thawri, and also Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Ibn Mubarak, all these people, we hear about them, but you know, when you read about, when you read the Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, or you read the book of Tahriq of history about Islam, you see thousands of names, but some of these names stay. Why? And their knowledge stays. Why? Because of their sincerity. Because it came from their heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, O he who envelops, Qum fa'anzir. And they go and warn the people. وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. And magnify your Lord. وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِرْ. And your heart purify it. Because once you purify your heart, then you affect the people. Affect the people, and also the knowledge stays with the people in their hearts. And they'll apply that knowledge. And they'll act upon it. And then you get more benefit. Because that's where the benefit is, when the heart is pure. When the heart is not pure, there's no benefit. And another way, of course, you know, we'll just go, inshallah. These are just some of the things, you know, I just wanted to mention concerning the necessities of the heart. And we'll go to how we can purify the heart. And of course, the main thing that we have is the Quran, Kitabullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We sent down the Quran with what is shifa. I mean, shifa is cure. And a cure and a mercy for the mu'min, for the believers. And cure, not only does it cure, you know, cure the heart, but it also cures you physically. Cures you physically also. When a person is sick and, you know, there's pain anywhere, if you put your hands to it and you just read, read Surah Al-Fatiha, or you just read the Quran, any part of the Quran, this is also a cure. You know, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, rahimahullah, when he used to go make Hajj, he said, you know, before when they used to make Hajj, it took them a long time. And he was in Damascus. And it took him, you know, very long, not like us right now. And we're still complaining, of course, you know. And we have one day, one or two days, a couple of hours, and we see, subhanAllah, a lot of people complain. Oh, this is so tiring. When are we going to get there? They're sitting there, subhanAllah. We don't think, you know, the people before. I remember my uncle, when he went to make Hajj before, he said it took him 6 months to make Hajj to go and 6 months to come back. Took him a whole year to make Hajj. So subhanAllah, now we have it very easy, but subhanAllah, it's not there. We have everything very easy, but we don't use it. And it's just the heart is not there. The deed is not there. You know, we have so many things. We have so many time-saving features, time-saving devices. But you know, we don't have time. SubhanAllah. Everything is time-saving, but we don't have time. You know, what is it? What's the reason? It's a lack of a blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't put the blessing in the time. It isn't these features, you know. It isn't in these features. But you know, the people before, subhanAllah, they used to read, they used to write, you know, 30 majalat, they used to write, and we can't even read one. You know, we can't even read one. They write it in a few months, they write it. They write the book, their books, and we can't even read it. We don't have time to read it. And we got microwaves, we got refrigerators. They didn't have any of those things. When they have to cook, they have to blow the fire and everything. But, you know, we got every time-saving feature possible, when we don't, the only thing we don't have is time. Everything to save time, but the only thing we don't have is time. So subhanAllah. So we realize that, you know, time is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He blesses it, subhanAllah, He gives us all, as much as we want. And another thing, of course, you know, reading the Quran, because this is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it purifies the heart. And another thing is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the remembrance of Allah, the heart finds tranquility. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُوا قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُوا الْقُلُوبُ. And indeed, those who believe and their hearts find tranquility in the remembrance of Allah, indeed, أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُوا الْقُلُوبُ. Indeed, in the remembrance of Allah, do the hearts find tranquility. And do the hearts find tranquility. So that's where you find tranquility, is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the greatest remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there reading the Quran and in our prayer when we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he told Bilal to make the adhan and told Bilal to make the iqama, he didn't tell him go make the adhan. He said, arihna biha ya Bilal. Arihna biha ya Bilal. You know, arihna biha ya Bilal means put us at peace. Because that's where he found peace and tranquility. So whenever you're sorrow, when you're sad and when you're stressed out, Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam faced any difficulties or he was sad or stressed a little bit, he would just go to pray. Laja ila salah. Laja ila salah. And that's where he found tranquility. That's why he said, arihna biha ya Bilal. And but now, you know, nowadays we say, arihna minha ya Bilal. I mean, we put us at, put, you know, put us, not at peace with it, but put, get it over with. So, in other words, get it over with. So, you know, a lot of people, let me pray first so I can get it off my shoulders. So let me get over with so I can get off my shoulders. So that's how we are right now. But you know, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, this connects us with the Akhirah. Connects us with the Akhirah. We remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And when we connect ourselves with the Akhirah, of course, our hearts always become pure. We become pure because we're always close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go to pray. And we want to hear what Allah says to us, then read the Qur'an. If you want to hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you, wants from you, read the Qur'an. If you want to speak to Allah, and then read, you know, we want to speak to Allah, then go to pray. Stand up and pray. And inshallah, I would just like to end it off in hadith from Imam Ahmad. And the hadith is from Anas ibn Malik.
You've reached the conclusion of this CD. Take the opportunity to evaluate yourself by going to ilmquest.org, where you will find a short quiz on the content of this presentation. That's www.ilmquest.org. The presentation will continue on the next CD.